I think what it is is that there were different manuscripts, and the manuscript that Bomberg used to put into the to put into his Babu set, which is what we're using, might have come from a different manuscript or different editors that was put into the Yerushalmi set. That's all I can think of. Okay, it's not majorly different. It just some gersos are different, some nuances are different. Here, like oh, there it says this sheet that says this, and it's reversed. Not too much, but it didn't help me where I was looking. Okay, so we were in the middle of the Mishnah, and I went on the top, so on the top of Daf Dalet. So Mishnah now Daf Dalet says the elu shechayovim bikalbon. So kalbon is sort of like a fee. You know, you get your cell phone, you have the fees. So on top of giving the chatzi shekel, there was this fee. So the fee could have been for a few things. It's a small amount. We'll see in a moment. It's either 1/12 or 1/24 of a shekel. But the fee was basically either a fee given to pay the money changers, or it was some sort of, when you, again, in those days, when you gave a coin, so the coin actually had inherent intrinsic value based on the weight of the coin. So sometimes it would get rubbed out. So if it got rubbed out, it was a little less, so you gave this fee to Hektish to cover your basis, to make sure you were giving the right amount, or was this this money changer fee? So it's called the kalbon. So the Mishnah says, Elu shechayovim v'kalbon, or other gersos, it's kulbon. But whoever's chayiv in the kalbon, whoever's chayiv, these are the people who are chayiv in the kalbon, which is basically whoever's chayiv to give the chatzi shekel is chayiv in the kalbon, which is our gersi has levim yisraeli v'geirim avadim shechorim, which is basically all Jews, leaves out kohanim, which is surprising because it goes against what we saw yesterday at the end of the day where they proved that the kohanim were chayiv in chatzi shekel, just that we just didn't. Except, well, maybe it's because we didn't collect from them, out of derech eretz, we're also not collecting kalbon from them. Right? Avalo nashim v'avadim uktanim. But avalo kohanim, you don't have to pay the kalbon. Nashim, women, avadim, slaves, uktanim. Uktanim, again, we're not, here, uktanim could be under 13, could be under 20. They don't have to, since they don't have to give the machzis shekel, they don't have to give a kalbon. Because, but again, if they would give the machzis shekel, They don't have to give it, because again, it's almost like a donation, it's like a gift. It's not a chiyuv, so we're not concerned necessarily about the diminution of the coin. Hashokel al yad kohen, if someone gives on behalf of a kohen, o al yad ishur, gives on behalf of the woman, al yad ever, gives on behalf of the even, al yad katan, or gives on behalf of the katan, he's putter. So we don't say that since the person giving the kalbon is a bar chiyuva, so since the person giving the master shekel is a bar chiyuva, he'd have to bring the kalbon. If you're giving it on behalf of somebody else who's putter, so just like their putter from the kalbon, so too your putter from the kalbon. Right? The im shakal al yodo val yad chaveru. Let's say I said, you know what, chatzi shekels are hard to come by, but I have a full shekel. I have a full shekel coin. So you know, you and me together, I'll give the shekel, and we'll be putter, and then you find the chatzi shekel and eventually pay me back, but we'll give them a full shekel. So it's two people now giving the shekel. There is, Mishna says, chayiv kalbon echad. You don't have to give one kalbon. Because again, if it's for really just for diminution, maybe I guess you're not worried about too much. And if it's for a fee, the money changer's only changing one. He's only changing one point. So chayiv kalbon echad. Rav Meir omer shnei kolbonot. Rav Meir says you need to pay double kalbon. Okay, well, Sinmar will explain that. Now, the Mishnah says hanotel sel notin sela. To just get some language back, a sela has two half shekels. That's what sela. The word shekel in Mishnaic Hebrew means a chatzi shekel. So it's very confusing. So shekel in the Mishnah means chatzi shekel. So the sela contains two shekel, which means the sela contains two Torah chatzi shekel. So if you give a sela, so I say the sela is a dollar, the chatzi shekel is 50 cents. So the shekel here is going to be 50 cents. I note in shekel, you give the shekel, the notel shekel. So now I'm giving in a shekel, I'm getting back my chatzi shekel. Right, chayiv shtei kolbonos. Again, here it says you chayiv two kolbonos. The Gemara is trying to say, is this only like Rav Meir who had said it before? You're chayiv two. Now, hashokel al yad ani val yad shcheno val yad ben iro putter. If I give on behalf of a poor person, on behalf of my neighbor, on behalf of somebody else in my city, I'm putter from adding on a kalbon. Because I gave my own, and now I'm going to give it on behalf of somebody else. I don't have to give the kalbon. Here he's saying because I'm giving it as a gift. Right? And so it's as a gift, since I'm being at the benefit at the goodness of my heart, the Chachamim gets more metake that you now also have to give the kalbon. But the imhil von chaya. But if I loaned him the money and they're gonna pay me back the chatzi shekel that I gave, then I'm obligated in the kalbon, they'll have to pay me that. Because if they're paying me back, it's as if they gave it, and if they would have given it, they would have to pay the extra fee. Okay, now the Mishnah says, Ha'achin hashutafin. So you have brothers who are partners. So what this really means is you have brothers who are, it's talking about the estate. So their father died, then they split the inheritance. Just two brothers make it easy. They split the inheritance, and then afterwards they went back and they joined in a partnership together. So here, chayavim bekalbon, if they would each, if they gave, since they split the, had they not split the estate, and then they came to Abrachati Shekel, and they were taking money out of the estate, it would have been as if the estate, I mean, as if the father was paying on their behalf, there would be no chiyuv for kalbon, because it would have been an entity of the estate. But it also would have been, if the estate had a bechor, right, the estate had animals, they would have had to take off meiser. Partnerships are pater for meiser, but the estate, before it split, is not viewed as a partnership, it's viewed as a single entity, and that would be a single entity, LLC, whatever it is, and that would have been chayiv in meiser behemah. So what you have here is you have the brothers that are now partners. They're legit partners. They split the estate, and then they came back together. So they're chayav and bekalbon. If they take the money to give the chatzi shekel, it would have to pay kalbon, because it's no longer estate money. Once they split, then it became their own money, and when it went back together, it's just a partnership. But since it's a partnership, paterim meiser behema. It would be partnered for meiser behema, because the pasuk says, kol peter sheger behema, sher yeh lecha hazecharim la'ashem. So it's afka lecha, and not partnership. But in the reverse case, v'shechayavim b'meiser behema, had they not split the estate, therefore it's one single corporate entity, they would be chayav in meiser behema, they would be paterim in a kalbon. They would be partnered from the kalbon, because it was as if their father gave on their behalf, and is giving them a full shekel, that to give to the base of Midrash, and that's pater from the kalbon. The kamuhu kalbon, and how much is the kalbon, this extra fee that you pay? Ma'a kesef, which means either a twelfth of a shekel, right, which a twelfth of the chatzi shekel. It's the 24th of the seller, but it's a twelfth of the chatzi shekel. Divrei Rabbi Meir, the chachamim amrim chatzi ma, they say it's a 1/24th. It's a small little nominal fee. Right. Okay, so now the Mishnah is going, Gemara's going to go back to the Mishnah that we said yesterday. The Mishnah that we said yesterday said, Afal Pirusha Amru, even though we said that we don't take collateral from women, slaves, or katanim because they're pater, if they would decide to give the chatzi shekel, we would accept it from them. So there, the diuk is that specifically if the katanim gave out of their own, let's say the woman gave out of her own free will, then we accept it. Halitboa ain't tovim. But the diuk is we don't make a claim against them. Right? Only if they wanted to, they would give it. But Hacha, in this Mishnah, it says, that's what it says here. In the previous Mishnah, it said that we don't take collateral from them. At Amart Tovim, v'Hacha At Amart Ein Tovim. There it just says we don't take collateral, which is Mashma, we'll make a claim against them, we just won't take collateral against them. Here it's Mashma, that if they gave, they only if they give of their own free will, but we don't make a claim against them. So which one is it? Do we claim against them or do we not claim against them? So the Gemara says, no, kan b'shehevishte sa'aros, v'kan b'shelohevishte sa'aros. It depends. Remember, when it comes to, answers katanim, I don't know how to answer this woman, he says when it comes to the katanim, the different types of katan. There's a katan who is below 13, and there's a katan who's below 20 when it comes to shkalim. So when it comes to a katan who hasn't brought shtei sa'aros, who's below the age of 13, that we don't even make a claim against him, because he is completely pater. When it comes to that period between 13 and 20, where he doesn't necessarily have a chiyuv, but the Rabban will make a claim and say, hey, maybe you want to give, maybe you want to donate, but if he doesn't donate, we won't take the collateral against him. Okay. The Mishnah said also that if a Nachri, right, a non-Jew, and a Kusi, say the Samaritans, that they wanted to give the chatzi shekel, we don't accept it from them, right? We said, Nachri, a Kusi, Sheshaku, Eimekav, Mehen. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Ba, again, they drop the Aleph a lot, so maybe it's Rabbi Abba, Tipater, Tipater means we should explain our Mishnah, Kimanda Amar Kusi Kinachri. We should explain our, again, there was a Machlokas Rav Shas, whether the Kusim are considered Giri Emes. When the lions came and they converted out of fear, or they really converted out of the good, not because they wanted to. So our Mishnah, which now says that you don't accept, which is comparing the Kusi to the non-Jews, we don't accept the chatzi shekel, must hold that the kusim are not real gerim, and therefore we don't like goyim, right? The ispalgim, because there is a machlokas chachamim, kusi kenachri, is a kusi considered like a nachri, divrei rabbi, that's what rabbi said, and Rav Shimon Gamliel omer kusi kisrael lechol davar, he says, kusi is like divrei yisrael, so according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, then a Kusi would be able to give the Chatzi Shekel because he's considered a Jew. So the Gemara then says, Amar Rav Lazar. Again, the Aleph drops. It's Amar Rav Lazar. So this is Rav Lazar Bar Pardas, who's a second generation Amora. Says, Masnisa, our Mishnah, Bin Nachrim. Our Mishnah specifically, Bin Nachrim, Habikusim Lo. I think that he says, no, we can explain our Mishnah also like Rav Shimon Gamliel by changing our Mishnah that says that we don't accept from the Nachrim, but it doesn't talk about Kusim. The din that, and we are Makabal, Chatzi Shekel the Kusim. The Tani Kain, and we learned this like in a Brisa, because the Pasuk says, it says, Daber Abadei Yisrael, Matalehem, Adam Ki Yakim Mikem Korban Lashem, Adam L'Rabos Asagirim, Mikem L'Hotzi Es, Machol, say whether it's Mumarim or Mushumadim. Only somebody who's Mishumah, the Kol HaTorah Kula, do we not accept from. But a Kusi, they do some things right, they do some things wrong, so they're not considered a Mumar, and therefore we would accept to them according to this Brisa. So according to Rabbi Lazar, we just change our Mishnah and take out Kusim from that section, and therefore just as Nachrim, and we accept from Kusim, then our Mishnah would work according to Shem Gamliel as well. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Masnisa Poligar Rabbi Lazar. He says, no, our Mishnah, the continuation of our Mishnah doesn't work. Why? Because the Mishnah says, Ein mikabl miyodom kine zavim v'zavos v'kine yodos. We don't accept from, we assume they meant the goyim and the kusim, if they brought kinim. They brought the pair of birds, let's say for the woman, after she gave birth. We don't accept them. So this cannot be speaking about Nachrim, the Gemara says. V'chi yish kine zavim v'zavim v'nachros. Doesn't even apply. It's B'nai Yisrael. They can't even bring that. Why would you do that? Ella, so if that's the case, what you had now, the way you Rav Elazar sets it up, he sets it up, the case of the Mishnah is Machs Shekel is only talking about Goyim, and the case of the Zavol, of the Kinyim, is only talking about the Kusim. You end up having Elo Resha Ben Nachrim, the Sefer of the Kusim, that the Mishnah is really doing that without telling you that it makes more sense to say that the Resha is about both, and the second case is only about the Kusim. Now the way you have it set up is the Resha is about one population, and the Sefer about a second population. The Gemara says, yeah, no big deal. Cain, who, yeah, Resha Ben Nachrim, the Sefer of the Kusim. That's the case. The Resha, just apply the halacha, but that's logical. The Resha is talking about Machzor Shekel, that you don't accept Machzor Shekel, that's only by the Goyim, because they're not Jews. But the Kusim you would accept. And the Sefer that says that you don't accept the Kinyim, that's talking about the Kusim, it's not talking about the Goyim. Why you don't accept from the Kusim the Kinyim, if you accept from them the Machzor Shekel, I'm not sure what the distinction is. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to talk about accepting, what's the big deal? Why don't you accept the Machzor Shekel from the Goyim? What about accepting other gifts to the Beis HaMikdash from the Goyim? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Batchila, the Batchila mean one or two things. Batchila can either mean Lichatchila, or they translated it here in the Masifta, he quotes it from Perish Ravenu Meshulam, that Lichatchila, that's how we're going to go, but Lichatchila means when they initially started building the Beis HaMikdash, Batchila, on the outset, originally, Eimikabim Lehem Lo Dover Mesuyam, V'Lo Dover She'enu Mesuyam. We don't accept from them a specific gift because I want to donate to Aron Kodosh. Something that's specific that you can point to and say that thing was donated by the Goy. We don't accept a gift like that. We don't accept any gift even if it's not Masuyim, which means it doesn't give cash, it's going to go into the pot. We don't accept anything. We don't accept any specific gift or a non-specific gift. We don't accept at all. But so, at the end, which could either be the Eved or the way we're learning it, after they already completed building the Beis HaMikdash, will accept from them an unspecific gift, a cash donation. The Eimikabimahem Dover Mesuyim, but we still won't accept from them a specific gift like that's Dover Mesuyim because it's a gnai to us, and we don't want to glorify them by saying, "Oh, that guy, he donated the bima, he donated the cover for the aron." But they want to give a gift that goes towards something, and you mix it all together, then that would be okay. That's why did we? Nicanor wasn't Jewish. He just was from Egypt. I don't know if he wasn't Jewish or not. I believe so. I think just he was from Alexandria, but I believe he was Jewish. Okay. Reish Lakish Amar. Excuse me, Lakish Amar. Bein betchila, bein besof, ein mekabel, ein lo dover mesuyim, lo dover she'ein mesuyim. We do not. He's called Rabbi Yochanan and says we do not accept gifts for the Beis HaMikdash from non-Jews. So Masnisa Pligi al Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to bring now a brisa that argues on Rabbi Yochanan. Because, sorry?
Why
Masechta Pliga Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that we do accept unspecific gifts from the non-Jews. And here the Braisa says, Eimik Kabamihan, we don't accept from the non-Jews, Hektesh, Unidavu Lebedek Abayis. We don't accept from them anything that's Hektesh or a voluntary gift that goes to Bedek Abayis. Now, Hektesh or Bedek Abayis, they point out, must be post-building, because why would you be giving it to the Bedek? It's for the upkeep of the temple. Well, the only upkeep in something that exists, it seems to be. So therefore, you see, you don't accept from them any gifts, even a monetary cash donation. So Potter Law, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what it means is that this Bryce is talking about Bein B'Tchila, Bein B'Sof, over Vash Dover Mesuyim. You're right, the Bryce is talking about that you don't accept any gifts from the Goyim. It's talking about specific gifts. And specific gifts we don't accept, so there's no question. Now, Rab Shimon Ben Lakish Amar, Bein B'Tchila, U Bein B'Sof, Eimek Kalvinhen, Lo Dover Mesuyim, Lo Dover Shein Mesuyim. There's no gifts from the Goyim. So Masnisa Pliga Rab Shimon Ben Lakish. Now we're going to bring a Mishnah. I think it's a Mishnah. This says Masnisa. Yeah, Mishnah. It's a Tannaitic source that argues on Reish Lakish. The Tani, so this is in Maseches Erechin. There is, again, Erechin means like there's the set fee. If you say Erech Alav, this person's value, the Torah has a set fee of how much each age group, based on age and sex, how much each is worth. So there's a machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, whether or not you can, if a guy can make Erechin, can a guy say he's Marich, my value? Or can a guy even be Ne'era? If I say the value of this guy, does that count? But there, I'll call Shavim, so there's a whole machlokes about by Erechin, but I'll call Shavim, Shehi Nodrin V'Nedarim. Meaning if a guy says, I'm going to give a certain, I'm obligated to give $100, or I'm obligated to give in the Lashon of Neder, or Neder, that I make a Neder, I'm going to give the value of this person. Everyone agrees that they're Nodrin V'Nedarim. Well, that's money, right? That's money that goes to Bedek Abayis, and we seem to accept it from them. So if we accept it from them, that's against Reish Lakish. We're accepting these gifts from them, but Reish Lakish says we don't accept. Even non-specific gifts we don't accept. So Patar La, so Reish Lakish asked them, when the Mishnah says Nodrim, what it's talking about is talking about an Ola. It's not talking about any monetary donations. It's talking about a Korban Ola. And we just learned, according to our Mishnah, that the Goyim, we do accept voluntary korbanos. Here it says Ola, Machlokas, whether we only accept Ola or do we accept Shlamim. The issue being that when it comes to Ola, we had mentioned this also when we first Pesachim, about the viewpoint of the religions of other religions of the world is that there's a separation between sacred and the mundane. If you do something sacred, it has to all go to Hashem. So that's why the Goyim can bring an Ola. Machlokes wouldn't think of a Shlamim. A Shlamim is part Lashem, part people eat, whether the non-Jews are allowed to bring a Shlamim. Here it seems to say Ola. So is it Ola being specific, or is Ola just being an example of a voluntary offering? Okay, so Patilaba Ola, that we said, when it said over here that the guy makes a neder to bring something, it's not specific, not money, it's an Ola. Where it says, okay, Nicha Nodrim. That makes sense that the guy can say, Nodrim, I take a neder to bring. But the Mishnah there said, Nodrim v'nidarim. Nidarim means that it's not on them. It's like, Nidarim means they're forcing somebody else, right? That somebody else's value I'm going to bring. So how does that work with Ola? Somebody else's Ola I'm going to bring, it doesn't work. So she says, Nicha Nodrim, Ola, Nidarim, Ola? How does that work? So Ella, Kisha Amr Yisrael, Harei Ola. The case would be where a Jew says, I'm bringing Ola, V'shama Nachri, and a non-Jew hears it, V'amar Masha Amr Zelai, whatever he says on me. So now he's using somebody else as the reference point to bring the Ola. That's his answer. But again, it is not going to be any gift. No money is going to no money is going to be given by the guy that's being accepted by the Beis Hamikdash, according to Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we'll say, no, give money. He can give money. As long as it's non-specific, he can give it. So now the Gemara is going to ask, I think this Gemara now goes the S on both Shitos. The Gemara says that, right, because everyone agrees that you can't accept a Dover Mesuyim, a specific item. So let's say the guy's bringing an Ola. So the guy brings an Ola, the animal's not the only thing that comes along with it. What also comes along with it is wine libations. You don't necessarily bring the wine, you bring the money, you pay for the wine, and they take and then they go to the storehouse and they bring the wine. So he says, Eino mevi imo nesachim? Yeah, he brings nesachim. Umosar nesachim lo l'klisharis inun? What happens with the leftover money from the nesachim? You give a certain amount of money for the wine, and it's too much. So what do you do with the leftover money? You should give it to Hecht, you can't give it back. So what ends up happening is then the leftover money is then used to buy a Kli Sharis, to buy a jug, to buy a keli, to buy something in the Beis HaMikdash. So that just means money that the guy gave is now being used for a specific item. And both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say that you're not allowed to do that. How do you accept that? Right? Nimsa mevi davar masuyim. So the Gemara says, I think the answer is, the guy doesn't have any idea that he's giving that. He has no way. The whole problem with davar masuyim, that the guy can point to it and say that that's mine. The guy's not going to be able to point to it. He says, he's cast his kavana to give the money for the karban and all the things that involve the karban. Happens to be there's leftover and we're going to use that to buy something. He's not going to point that to the guy. The guy has no idea. He thought it went to the, when he went to the, to one. That's what I think the answer would be. So Hesiv, which was answered Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Bun, Vahataninan, we already learned in Maseches Erechin, and here they quote it, it's not Ne'erachin, it's Ma'arichin, right? It says the idea that the guy can make Erech. He can say that person's value is upon me. So he says, and when you make a Ne'erech, Archim lo lebedek abayis inun, when you make Erech, what do they do with that money? The purpose of the money is to go to the Bedek Habayis. Right, go to the Bedek Habayis. Heich ma da'at amar taman. So just like you answered over there, we'll answer over here. So what answer over there, we said, l'shamayim hu miskaven, umelei en nehim boin lebedek habayis, kenata amar hacha, like we said, l'shamayim hu miskaven, umelei en, just like over there, we accept a monetary gift, even though it's going to go to fix something. That would be a kasha. I guess I'm Reish Lakish. Even though we accept a gift, why? Because the person's kavana was just for it to be. His kavana wasn't for a gift. His kavana was to just give money. He has no intention of having anything earmarked off of that money. So to over here, like we just said, he has no intention to having anything earmarked off of that money, and therefore it's not going to be a problem. So that answers for Rav Yochanan, but Ma Ovid Rav Shimon ben Lakish. But what's Reish Lakish going to say? Okay, so this Gemara here is a little difficult. I believe the Grot just takes it out, but we have it here. So Ma Ovid Rav Shimon ben Lakish. According to Rav Shimon ben Lakish, you're not allowed to accept any gift from the guy. Davar Mesuyim, Davar Ein Mesuyim. So who cares? Who cares that the guy can't point to it and say that that's his specific item? It's still a gift of money that's being brought in, and Reish Lakish says you can't take it, accept a gift of money. He says, Patr Allah, he answers, based on the pasuk that says, Lo lachem v'lanu livnos beis lokenu, that it's usher to accept from the goy only things that is going to be used to glorify the building. But here, if the goy has, again, it's the same answer, the goy has no intention that this money is going to be used for the building. His intention was that the money is going to be used for the karban. Okay. Rab Chizkiya Amar Rab Simon Sha'al. So Rab Chizkiya said in the name of Simon, who asks, I think he asked what it is, me'ata, oh, to say? Oh, it's been Yichusa. So it's not a question, it's just a statement. It's like, Amar of Chizkiya, Amar of Shimon. Okay, Amar of Chizkiya, Amar of me'ata, now that we darshan this pasuk of lo lachem v'lanu livnos beis lokenu, that we're, so a mikabli mehem, which means we never accepted them any money to build for the works of building the Beis HaMikdash. A mikabli mehem la'amas hamayim, we don't accept money from them for anything that's used for the benefit of the Beis HaMikdash, which would include any aqueducts, the chomos ha'ir, and to build the walls around the city, umigloserot towers, al shem shenemar. That's the pasuk. Another pasuk that seems to indicate that. The next pasuk in the Chemi says, we don't accept them any gifts that will that via those gifts they're going to also be helpful to build Jerusalem. Okay, so the aqueducts and everything around Jerusalem also they didn't accept from them to build. Okay, now here's another piece of the Gemara with the Gra has a completely different girsa. I'm not exactly sure how to read it, so I'll just read what I have here. I'm not sure what the article has. I'm not sure whether this is the Gra. It's just the girsa. So Masnisa. So now we're going back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that listed people who were chayiv in the kalbon, right? And so it's mashma from the Mishnah that there is nobody who would be chayiv in machzis shekel who wouldn't be chayiv to give the kalbon. And if you're chayiv in machzis shekel, you have to give the kalbon. That's why the Leviim, Yisraelim, Vadim Shukrarim, Gerim, the chayiv in machzis shekel, the chayiv in the giving, paying the fee. Everyone pays the fee. You can't get out of the taxes. So Masnisa de Rabbi Meir, our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Meir, the Ami Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says, Kishem Sheshiklo Torah, just like the Shekel is a Torah din, Kach Kalbano Torah, so to the Kalbon is Midoraisa. They basically go hand in hand, right? Kasava Rabbi Meir, so therefore Rabbi Meir holds, Binosin Shiklo Shalim, if I give a full Shekel, as opposed to a Chachi Shekel, Shochayev b'kalbon. I would still be chayev b'kalbon. Meaning, if I gave a full shekel and said, just keep the change, you would think that what's the point of giving the kalbon? There's no transaction fee because I'm giving the whole thing. There's no change. You have to make change. And number two, you're worried about it being less because it gets rubbed out. I've given you 100% buffer zone. I'm giving you double. Nevertheless, he says you still chayev b'kalbon because the kalbon is something it's like an extra fee that's included. You have to pay for it, no matter what. There's nothing to do with any dili derabanan. It's just a doraisa payment. Because he learns out, the Amar Rabbi Meir, kimin matbeya shel ish hotzi kodesh baruch hu mitachas kisei kavoto. Right, Moshe didn't know what the chatzi shekel is. They all ask, okay, I understand. Moshe didn't know how to make them. Moshe didn't know how to make the menorah. That's very difficult. So Hashem had to show him. But Moshe didn't understand how to make what a chatzi shekel is. It's just a coin, because it says Zed. Moshe, three things Hashem had to show Moshe. Chodesh HaZelachem, and show him the new moon. He had to show him the menorah, and then he had to show them the Chachi Shekel. So the menorah, I understand, but why didn't he understand what the Chachi Shekel was? So Rav Druk in Eish Tamid explains that Moshe knew what the Chachi Shekel was. He just didn't understand that a person can be so wealthy, can give the same amount to something that's so poor, and it would be the same impact. So Hashem shows him Matbeya Shel Eish. He shows him that the coin's on fire. As long as you're on fire when you give it, if you have the right kavanas when you give it, echon amar brev echon mamed, and so mamed vashi kav and libo shemashmayim. Okay, this is a side point. But here, the Gemara is saying that it says, kamim matbeya shel eish hotzei kodesh baruch hu mitachas kisei kvodo, v'rei lemoshe v'amar ze yitnu. Kazei yitnu. It has to be exactly like this. And the Karban Eda points out, Karban Eda is on the top, I think it's like the last line of the wide line on the top. It says, kazei yitnu, shiunoki mikol sig. Shreimei Ishai has to be clean of any impurity because it's coming out of the fire. The Hilka Kol Ashkalim Shrichan Kalbon, therefore all the Shkalim need this extra payment, Shekesef Naki Shreim Machin Shekel, to make sure that you have a Chatzi Shekel. But the idea is, it says, Midi Oraisa, you have to bring the Kalbon. The reason why is because you were concerned that there might be a little bit of a rub out, but the Torah is saying you have to bring the Kalbon. So even if you gave, even if according to Rav Meir, even if you gave a full Shekel, you still have to pay the fee. The fee is automatic. So we said yesterday that the Kohanim probably, according to, there was two reasons. The reason why the Kohanim made a drush of them by themselves about this, it would then be, their portion would be in the Korban Tzibur, and how can it be eaten? Rav Yochanan and Zakkai said they're wrong. We didn't accept it. We didn't force them because of Darkei Shalom. So we're not going to, just like we didn't force them to the Matzah Shekel, we didn't force them to, so we didn't make collateral from them. We're not going to force them for the Kalbon either. They're obligated, but we're just not, because of respect or whatever, we didn't force them. Or, well, the Maxi Shekel is also Doraisa, and we're not accepting it from them. We're not forcing them. Because they were, we said yesterday, the Kohanim were either very, very powerful or angry people, and we don't want to start up with them. So we didn't take a collateral. They still obligate to pay, but we don't take the collateral from them. Okay. So now the Mishnah says, Natal Sela, a Sela again is a Shekel, a full Shekel, Lito Shekel, to get change of a Chatzi Shekel, right? Chayesh Ne Kalbonos. The Mishnah then said, you chayesh two Kalbonos. So we think now, Amar Rabbi Lazar, the Rabbi Meir. This is going according to Shita Rabbi Meir, who says, the Rabbi Meir Amar, Echad Shekel Shul Notain, Vechad Shekel Shul Notel. There's a fee, there's a transaction fee. There's a fee on the giving, and there's a fee on the taking back. Right, the house always wins. So I have to pay a kalbon for the fee to give hand it in, and then when I get the half a shekel back, I pay a kalbon on that as well. So that's Rabbi Meir. So the Tanya, how do I know that it's Rabbi Meir? The Tanya, Elu Chayavim Mikalbon. Right, Ein Lechad Mikalbon, Kalbon Echad, Ramei Omer Shnei Kolbonos. Ramei says Yechayev two Kolbonos. Now Umar Rav, which means Omar Rav, Divra Kolhi. No, this idea about having to pay, if you give a shekel and you get back a half a shekel, you have to pay two Kolbonos, that can go according to everybody. Rav Meir is going to say you have to, in that situation, you have to pay three Kolbonos. Umar Rav Divra Kolhi, the Omer of Meir, Echad Shekel Shehu Notain, you have to pay one Kolbon for the full giving the shekel. Then it has to be exchanged. The echad shekel shehu notel, and one shekel that you take back. The echad divrei Torah, and then one that's a set fee. So according to Rav Meir, there's a set fee midoraisa, And that each transaction also gets a karbon midrabanan. So there's a set fee d'oraisa is one karbon. The transaction of giving in the full shekel is another karbon. The transaction of receiving the chatzi shekel back is a third karbon. Right? That's the Rebbeir. Al date d'rav, the Gemara says, shlosha karbonos inu. So according to Rav Meir, there are three karbonos. The Gemara says, yeah, asa Rav Yirmiya, Rav Shimon bar Yitzhak, b'shem Rav. Shlosha karbonos inu. There were three karbonos according to Rav Meir. Echad shekel shehu notein, echad shekel shehu notel, the echad ledvar Torah. According to Rav Meir, you would have to pay three karbonos. Okay, Josh, I think next year we should do the siyum first, so everyone can have the coffee, and then we can be okay. All right, now we're going back to the brothers, right? The brothers who had split, and remember, it was an inverse relationship between Meiser and the Kalbon. If the brothers didn't split and they're giving straight out of the estate, so then there's no kalbon because it's as if the father's giving on their behalf. But there would be a chiyuv and meiser because they're viewed as an individual. If they did split and then come back, they're a partnership. Therefore, if they came back together, they are partners, so they would be parted from the meiser and they would chiyuv in the kalbon. Okay. So now the Mishnah says, ha'achin v'ashutafin, right, brothers, and it says partners. So our Gersa says, v'ashutafin. There are other Gersos that have different Gersa. It says, achin, it just says, shutafin. Okay, so here we have brothers or partners. Shechayavim bil kalbon, if they're chayav in the kalbon, which means that they're viewed as a real partnership, then peturim mi'maiser behema. They're going to be parted from maiser behema, because onun chayav maiser behema is an individual. So what's that case? That's kishecholku, we've explained this already, that's kishecholku v'chazru v'nishtatvu. That's if they split the estate, the brothers, and they went back and reestablished the partnership. So there, shechayavim b'maiser behema, so the second case of shechayavim b'maiser behema, u'peturim in a kalbon, when they're parted from maiser behema, but they're chayv in a kalbon, when they're considered one entity, that is b'shelochilku. That's when they never split the estate. So the estate is going to be chayv in maiser, because it's a single entity, but it's pater from the kalbon because somebody's giving on their behalf. And we said in the Mishnah, if you give on behalf of somebody else, not as a loan, if you give on behalf of somebody else, there's no kalbon. The estate is giving on behalf of these two brothers. Amar Rav Lazar. So Rav Lazar says, okay, Rav Lazar, I believe it's Rav Elazar, but then Aleph is dropped. So Amar Rav Lazar, the hein shechaltu gediyim keneged toyashim, toyashim keneged gediyim. Aval im chalku gediyim keneged gediyim, u toyashim keneged toyashim, hu chalko mishar rishona. Okay, so I'm not exactly sure. So I think what's going on here is that Rav Elazar is saying, the din that we said, that brothers who split the field and then went back and repartnered, that's only if they split the field, basically, they divided the field along species. In other words, they said, you get all the goats, you get all the cows. You know, they didn't make an equitable split. They just split, you know, they just said, you take this portion, you take that portion. It wasn't equitable. So if those people split and then they came back, right? If hein shechol gedim v'negedim t'yashim v'negedim t'yashim v'negedim, so then they are as if everyone bought that portion, and then because it's as if I bought my animal after your animal, so we completely split. And if we go back together, then we say that they're now partners. But im chalku gedim k'negedim u'tiyashim k'negedim, they split evenly. One for you, one for me. One kid for you, one kid for me. Right? They split it. They split it evenly. Then hu chalko mishar rishona. So that we say here that there's no kinyan. We say that retroactively, this is viewed as if it was theirs initially. We don't view them as buying from one for another. So if they come back together, they're not coming back together as partners anymore. They're coming back together as if you reestablished the estate. That seems to be. So therefore, the split thing and coming back together to view them as partners is dependent on how they actually split the estate. And that's sure why. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, I feel a chok gedim kineg gedim, to yashin neg yashim, kilkuchel sein, a pturim in a meiser. He says, no, it doesn't make a difference how they divide the estate. Once they divide the estate, it's as if I bought A for you, it's an exchange of A for B, we're completely split. If we come back together, we're coming back together as partnerships, we're not coming back together as reestablishing the estate. Right, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, afilu chalku gediyim neged gediyim, u'tiyashim neged tiyashim, kilekuchos sayins, if they bought from each other, u'peturin u'meiser, and if they came back together, they'll be pater from meiser, because they're partners, kahu detaninon, taman, like we learned in the Mishnah over there, which is in Bechoros, halakuach, I'm not sure what this is, v'halakuach, v'shenitanin lo b'matana, Pater Meiser Behema. So again, if anyone buys something, if I buy an animal, for an animal that's given to me as a, in Matana, then I don't have to pay due Meiser, I don't have to count it in the Meiser. So to here, which is if we bought from each other, we're going to go back together, we're going to be Pater from Meiser. Okay. What time is it? All right, to make life easier for me, and because we have time, let's try to do together the next piece till we get to the, to maybe we can get to the Mishnah, to finish the parak. Okay. Rabbi Chiya Amar, Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'i, so I think that means here it's a question. V'lama les nan amrim pamin shem chayav mzeh bzeh, v'pamin shem patur mzeh mzeh. Our Mishnah just said, there are sometimes, you have chayav and kalbon, patur and maiser, or chayav and maiser, patur and kalbon. But there are two other situations. The situation where you'd be chayav in both, situation where you'd be patur in both. And our Mishnah only did, in the Punnett Square, there are four options. Here there are only two options. The Mishnah only gave us two options. And he says, Heich Avida, what would be the cases where you would be chayev in both or patur in both? So if you say, Chalku hanichasim, if they split up, if they split all the money, right, they split the bank accounts, they split the cash, right, v'lo chalku behema, but they didn't, never split up the livestock. And then I guess they came back together as partners. So then chayevim bezeh u'bezeh, they'd be chayev in both. They'd be chayev in the kalbon, because when they come, they split the estate from the money. So therefore, when they go back together, it's not the estate that's paying for them because they're paying for themselves. But the behema, the animals were never split, and therefore it's as if so that's still part of the estate, and it's as if the single entity of the estate is giving that owns the animal. That would be a chiyuv and meiser. They'd be chayev in both. Okay. Chalku, and the opposite, chalku behema, v'lo chalku nechasim, patur mizeh bizeh. If they split the animals, but they didn't split the cash, and then they came back together as partners, they'd be pater from both. They're pater from the behema because they split, they'll come back together as partners, and therefore partnership or pater, but the estate still owns all the cash, so the estate is the one who's paying the kalbon on their behalf, and therefore they would be pater from the kalbon. Amar Rabbi Mana, Hadad at Amar, that which you said, that if they split the livestock, but they didn't split the cash, they'd be parting from both, that's b'shelo haisa behema rov. Val im haisa behema rov, harehen ikr nechasim. So he says it all depends on rov. What's considered the majority of the estate? If the majority of the estate is going to be, if the majority of the estate is going to be the animals, and then they split the animals, we're going to view the estate as being completely split, and that's going to be whatever the halacha comes out from there. Okay, Rabbi Avin Amar. Rabbi Avin said, Rabbi Shami Bai, that Rabbi Shammai asked, Mipnei she'asison ka'adam echad etzel meiser behema at potro min akalbon? Wait a second. Right, he says, just because we make them like one person for the Meiser Behema, and therefore they have to give Meiser Behema, we're going to say that they're putter from the Kalbon. Why would you do that? If you're going to be machmir on them to make them be Meiser, that we're going to view them as they have to give Meiser Behema, let's be machmir on them, they don't have to pay the Kalbon. So he says, no, lo shaniyahi shu no sin sela achat shlema. He said, no, because you're misunderstanding. It's not a question that we're just being machmir on him. We're going according to the rules. The rules would be that if they're not partners, I mean it's from the estate, it's only the estate making the payment. So therefore they're chayiv in the meiser, and they'll be putter in the kalbon, because there's a person giving on their behalf. Okay, me'ata, so now the Gemara asks, me'ata afilu chalku v'chazu v'shtativu, chayiv v'meiser v'hema v'tum v'kalbon, v'utaninon, chayiv v'kalbon v'tum v'meiser sheni, v'meiser. I don't know what the question is. Now, so maybe, I think he said, if they go back and repartner, they should be chayiv in Meiser Behema and put them in a kalbon. I don't know why you would say that. If they repartner, they'll become partners again. Okay, I don't know what that's saying. Sorry. Rabbi Ba b'shem Abba Bar Rav Huna, hi shnei achim sheyarsu saviyim, Hishne Gisin Sheyarsus Chameyan. It makes no difference how the Yerusha comes, whether it's two brothers who inherit their father, or two brothers-in-law who are inheriting the brother-in-law, the same rules would apply. So the Echan Hayu Kalbanos Noflin, so where would the Kalbanos go? So we know that the Machus HaShekel, that money goes into the Kupa to be used for Kalbanos Sibor. What is the purpose of the Kalbon? What did they use the Kalbanos for? Rabbi Meir Omer L'Shkalim, Rabbi Meir said it would go to the same place. It would go with the Shkalim to be used for the bringing of Karbanos Sivor. Rav Lazar Omer L'Nedava. No, it wouldn't go for that, it would go to L'Nedava. It wouldn't go for the Karbanos Sivor, it would go for the... It go into the pot that was used in case they were used to buy animals, to be used in case the Mizbeach is empty. Right? You had this in case nothing was burning the Mizbeach, they bought these other animals and they brought it on. It's called use the Ketz Mizbeach. That's a different pot. And then Rabbi Shimon Shizui Omer, Rikua Zahav, the Tzipu, the base Kodesh Kodashim, they would use it to buy gold and to things that used that they would fix inside the Kodesh Kodashim. Benazi Omar, Shulchanim Hayunotlim Metzvam B'Sichron, B'Yeshon L'Tzars Derachim. So he said, no, the kalbon was given, it was taken by the money changers. That was their fee. They would take the kalbon. So, in other words, the hektish wouldn't pay the money changers the fee. You pay, right? Monty hektish always wins. The house wins. You are paying the fee, right? They're passing around the fee. So that fee goes to the money changers. The ish omrim, lotzos derachim. So let's say the money was used for public works, to fix the roads, to fix the tzichim, the moros. That's what it was used for, okay? Hajjan alach perach v'echad adar. Hajjan alach perach v'echad adar. Harjun Allah, Parak, Echab, Adar, I'll pick up tomorrow with the new Parak. Have a great day.